Lenny Kravitz is a lot of things. He's best known for his music as a four-time Grammy Award winner who sold millions of albums. Here are just a few of his hits. I want to get away. I want to fly. I belong to you. And you, you, you belong to me. American woman. Stay away from me. Some other fun facts, Kravitz also has his own design firm and appeared in two Hunger Games movies. So this past fall, when I heard that he wrote a memoir with David Ritz, I thought it would contain all the juicy parts of being a rock star. But no.
I didn't want it to be about fame or rock stardom or anything like that. I wanted it to be about the journey.
Lenny Kravitz's book, Let Love Rule, focuses on the foundation, the first 25 years of life that led to the man we know today. It came out in October, and Lenny Kravitz joined us to talk about it. You dedicate this book to your mother, Roxy Roker. She was well known, best known for playing Helen Willis, one half of one of TV's first interracial couples in The Jeffersons. And you write in the book that Gladys Knight's voice gave sound to your mother's soul. And man, I felt that description in my soul. But can you say more about that?
Well, Gladys Knight was one of the first voices that I fell in love with. My mother and I used to listen to records at night, and I would sing for her, stand in front of her and sing the songs that were coming off of the turntable. And one of my favorite albums was Gladys Knight and the Pips, Imagination. There was just something about Gladys and her voice that gave voice to my mother's soul.
I guess you could say that I've been lucky. Oh, I guess you could say that it's all because of you.
And if we could describe Gladys Knight's voice, it is warm, it is like comfort, it is like a cradle in many ways. And you tell these beautiful stories about your mother, how when you were a child and something would upset you, she'd bring out this magical character, Ruff Ruff. Can you tell us more about that?
She wanted me to have a way to express myself, and she knew that I wouldn't necessarily always want to talk to my quote-unquote mother, you know? So she created a character, and the character was this sort of magical dog. And what I would have to do is I would have to say abracadabra, and then she would say ruff ruff. From that moment on, she was ruff ruff, and she had a completely different voice, different body language. And I would spill my feelings, you know, my fears, my insecurities, my happinesses, whatever it was. And when we were finished, I would have to say abracadabra again, and then she would turn back to my mother. In retrospect, it was a brilliant way for us to communicate, and she was smart enough to come up with that method.
Yeah. Your father, Cy Kravitz, was a former military man, and he was really strict and hard on you. This book, you really illustrate how you felt he didn't understand you, but he did understand your love of music. He was the one who took you to your first Jackson 5 concert, and it was in that moment that you felt like you were actually seen by your father.
Yes.
Was it cathartic to write about your relationship?
It was. You know, we had a very challenging relationship, but that doesn't mean we didn't love each other and that we didn't respect each other. We just had a hard time connecting. And the beautiful thing about writing this book was that I was able to see my father as a character. Because when you're writing the book, everyone's a character. I'm a character. You get to back off of yourself and other people. And through seeing him as a character, I got to really understand that he was just a man trying to get through this life experience with the best that he had. And through seeing him with those eyes, any judgment that I had just began to evaporate. And it was really healing. And my love for him grew in writing this book.
You know, it was such a treat to read about all of the legendary artists you were surrounded by during your childhood. I mean,
What a charmed life to have five play aunties that included Diane Carroll and Cicely Tyson. I mean, that's like the high bar for play aunties. And you say Black feminine energy is one of the reasons you've held your sanity for so long. Can you say more?
Yes, I was so blessed. My mother, my grandmother, my aunts. I felt comfortable around mm-hmm. these women. I felt seen. I felt loved. I felt nurtured. And I felt their strength. And that fed me throughout my life. I would not be who I am or where I am in this life without that feminine Black energy.
Yeah. Another fun fact, you auditioned and were accepted into the California Boys Choir, singing classical music. What did that experience teach you?
Well, it taught me so much about music and music that I wasn't as familiar with, classical music. It taught me so much about harmony. It opened up my ear. Being around all of these orchestras, I got to sing in the Metropolitan Opera. I did about 15 different operas. And I got to record with amazing maestros, Zubin Mehta. So being around all of that music really opened my ear and gave me an education that I use to this day. And it was heavy discipline. This was serious business.
You know, it was so fun to read about the backstories of some of the iconic moments or songs, like How Somebody's Watching Me was originally presented to you. It later became a hit for your friend, Kennedy Gordy. The chance to be a part of a group, which was going to be the Black Duran Duran Man. I mean, that it happened. In the book, it seemed like you were even surprised at your own resolve at such a young age to turn down opportunities that could have actually made you a lot of money. What do you think it was within you that made you so clear-headed about who you were and who you are?
Well, first of all, it was never about the money. For me, it was about expressing myself in a very natural way, in a true way. Now, mind you, I hadn't found my sound yet, right? Mm-hmm. So why didn't I take the deal and say, okay, I'll do this for now. And if I have success in this situation, I will develop and I'll change and I'll become who I would become. But even though I hadn't found my sound yet, I knew that what they were presenting me with was not my sound. So why even go down that avenue? I still can't explain how I had the power to do that when I was living in a car or living on people's floor or on a couch or sleeping in recording studio lounges at night. I don't know how I had the strength to do that. But every time I got close to that contract and they wanted me to sign, I felt physically ill. I couldn't do it. And I looked ridiculous to everybody. Everyone told me I was stupid and I was crazy and what's your problem? But as I learned in life, we can be presented with many open doors in our life, but it doesn't mean that you have to walk through them. And I was waiting for my door, and I'm so thankful that I did.
One of the people who helped you actually find your sound and help you find that door is Lisa Bonet. Your relationship and continued friendship is just legendary. You know, y'all need to write a book on blended families, you know, that, how to have wonderful relationships with ex-spouses. How did she help you find your sound?
You know, she was and is such a powerful person, a natural person, an enlightened person. And so when we met, I saw myself in her. I really feel that we were mirror images of each other. And through our friendship, because it began as a friendship, through our love, through our life, our circle of friends, the magic that was around all of us, it just enabled me to come to a place where I was finally comfortable with myself. Because remember, I'm coming out of that whole Romeo Blue phase.
Yeah, your name was Romeo Blue for a moment.
Yeah, it was an alter ego, you know, whatever you want to call it. It was a character for my music because I didn't think Lenny Kravitz was enough. So I was coming off of that phase when we met and then went back to my name after we'd met. And all of that was going on around us in our world somehow opened a portal all of a sudden, the sound that I was looking for was there. And I heard it, and I followed it. And that became my sound.
Well, the title of this memoir is Let Love Rule. And of course, it's also the title of your first album and one of your biggest mm-hmm. songs. Sounds like this is also how you see your life.
Yes. I mean, Let Love Rule is it. That's the statement. And it has been for 30 years. And that is the way I try to live my life every day. Yeah.
Lenny Kravitz, his new memoir is Let Love Rule. Lenny, thank you so much for this conversation and thank you for your book.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. I appreciate your time and having this discussion with you.
That's Lenny Kravitz speaking with me in October.